Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Holly Hubert, former FBI agent here in Buffalo, now CEO of Global Security IQ, is with us on the WBEN Trocare College Live Line, talking about this latest attempt on Donald Trump's life. Holly, thanks so much for joining us. What did you make of this second attempted assassination of former President Trump and how law enforcement responded yesterday?
Well, there's a lot to think about. It's so unfortunate that in our time we have to deal with things like this, but we do, and it's important to not be emotional, stay logical, and allow law enforcement to collect the facts so we, the American public, can have a clear picture of exactly what happened and what we're going to do in the future, or what will be done in the future to prevent this from happening again.
The second time it happened, and there was so much talk after the first time about an increased level of security around Trump, around, you know, all of the candidates, around even the president. But it seems like from what we heard in the time since that, you know, he still is kind of operating under the normal level of security that a presidential candidate would have, right? You know, if this were the president, the entire golf course would be locked down. But it's a presidential candidate, so they're sweeping a hole above. Now, they were still able to get this guy, obviously, but might there need to be a rethinking of how that goes? Or do we look at this and say, hey, the security worked?
Oh, you absolutely have to look at how the Secret Service approaches security for a sitting president and for a nominee. And I watched, after the first assassination attempt, a lot of the congressional interviews of the lead of the Secret Service, but they asked her more tactical questions, what happened, what didn't happen. But in my view, the American public would have been better served to ask much higher level questions. For example, how many agents does the Secret Service even have? And what are they doing? What are the investigative responsibilities that the Secret Service has? It's not just protection. They have a little bit of cyber jurisdiction. They obviously work with counterfeits and treasuries. Remember that they still actually have that responsibility. So if I were the head of the Secret Service, I would go in and ask, what is everyone doing, and assess where resources are actually allocated so you can free up some resources rather immediately and assign more to presidential candidates. And now we're a little bit past where we were on the last assassination attempt. Last time he was a mere candidate. Now President Trump is actually a sitting GOP nominee. So we have two right now, two protectees in this race. So certainly there should be an assessment of where the resources are assigned at the highest level.
This was very different from how the July incident went down. The would-be assassin yesterday is in custody. He's alive. But if you look between the two, was yesterday really a textbook case on how things go right compared to what happened in July?
Wow, that's a good question. So yeah, that answer is yes and no. If you look at the first one, in my opinion, the complete failure was in the planning and the staging of resources around the perimeter. How does that individual get to be 93 yards or 130 yards away from the president? It's very, very close. So there was an actual tactical planning error on the advance for that one. But I feel like that is still an error. The error is in the perimeter. So the agents on the ground did a good job on the golf course. They were able to see remarkably 300 yards away a muzzle, and they were actually able to fire a shot. But how does a car even get to the back of the golf course to where someone can put a muzzle through a chain link fence? I would ask, where is the outer perimeter security? So those are the questions that media and Congress should be asking. Who was responsible for the perimeter? Was it the Secret Service themselves? And what's the, you know, what happened? Did they defer it to local law enforcement, as was the case in the first assassination attempt? How was the communication? What was the cross-training? Those are all of the things that you really have to ask. So certainly the tactical response on scene was better for the second one, but, you know, in the inner perimeter, the tactical response was better. But on the outer perimeter, there was still a failure, in my opinion.
You know, this is kind of a rare case where we know quite a bit about this guy who was taken into custody. He was interviewed last year on a website talking about Americans who wanted to fight for Ukraine, and he started something called the International Volunteer Center, trying to help foreigners assist Ukraine's war effort to go over there and fight, and, you know, talking a lot about this. Also has kind of a long list of run-ins with the law in North Carolina, including a conviction for possessing a fully automatic machine gun just over 20 years ago. This type of person where, you know, we have all this information on him, he's had run-ins with the law before, what type of surveillance or, you know, being quote-unquote on the radar, how on the radar would this guy have been?
That's a very, very difficult question because, you know, as a former law enforcement officer, you cannot denigrate the Constitution to enforce it. So everyone has the rights allocated to them by the Constitution. And if someone commits a crime and they pay the price for a crime, how far can you penalize them? You can't surveil someone that committed a crime 20 years ago for 20 years. If we did that, we would have no resources in this country. So it's a very difficult question. Now, if that individual made a threat or a credible threat against the president, then certainly a case should have been opened. And yes, he would be really on that radar. And there would be a lot more checks and balances for that person. So actually answering a question like you're asking, and that's a great question to ask, but I think we have to let a little information unfold and let a little bit of facts unfold before you can really know the answer to that.
Well, Holly, thank you so much. We really appreciate talking with you this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you. Take care.
Holly Hubert, former FBI agent here in Buffalo, now CEO of Global Security IQ.